It's not a public option, but what is it?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Last night, we got word some senior Democratic senators reached a compromise deal to replace the idea of a government-run insurance plan. Instead, among other things, a government agency would work with private insurers, negotiating with them on prices. With us to explain the difference is Professor Brad Herring. He teaches about the healthcare system at Johns Hopkins University. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Very well, thanks. Professor Herring joining us live, by the way. Under this compromise plan, how would the government be involved in healthcare?
Well, so originally under the public plan, it would have been the Health and Human Services Department actually administering a plan, setting up a plan, negotiating rates, and dealing with all the issues there. Instead, the approach now would be to rely on what's currently done for federal employees, which is offering a menu of different health insurance plans, private health insurance plans, negotiated by the federal government.
Okay, so it's a government menu. What's the key difference between that and a public option?
Well, so I guess the key difference is the public option wouldn't have involved private health insurance companies. The government itself would have been acting like a health insurance company, whereas instead this compromise actually uses pre-existing private health insurance plans that are out there to provide these benefits to individuals through this newly formed health insurance exchange.
And are the private companies just middlemen then, or are they acting like private companies? You know, they can say yes or no, they can decline coverage, et cetera.
Well, they would indeed be acting like existing private health insurance plans do, but the rest of the health care bill actually includes a lot of reforms to do away with discrimination by health status. So these plans would have to adhere to those new regulations.
So what do you see briefly as some pros and cons of this plan?
Well, so the pros is that the main advantage is that it should indeed increase the amount of competition among private health insurance plans currently operating in states. So right now, states are actually heavily concentrated, dominated by a few health insurance plans. So that's a definite advantage. Another advantage is it just seems like a political compromise to move ourselves forward. I think the main drawback is that this isn't necessarily going to be the main solution for reducing the growth in healthcare spending overall. There's probably going to be some more fundamental reform to the system outside of whether we actually have a private plan or a public option made available.
Okay, Professor Bradley Herring at Johns Hopkins University, thank you.
All right, yeah, you're welcome.
And another part of that Senate deal is that Medicare would be extended to people as young as 55. We'll continue to follow healthcare reform negotiations for you. Also in Washington this morning, the Treasury Secretary moved to extend the $700 billion troubled asset relief program into next year. The TARP bailout plan was meant to expire in December. What does an extension mean? Here's Marketplace's Ashley Milne-Tite.
Tim Geithner says continuing to lend from TARP funds will let the government respond if the financial system gets in trouble again. He says the administration needs to be able to cope with unforeseen threats. The government wants to keep lending some of the TARP money until the beginning of October 2010. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial. He says the administration already has support from some in Congress.
Congressman Barney Frank, who's at the House Banking Committee, introduced legislation yesterday saying that he'd like to use TARP to help troubled homeowners extend their mortgages.
There's also the possibility of using the money to help small businesses. These ideas aren't popular with everyone in Congress. Many feel any unused or returned TARP money should be used solely to reduce the federal deficit. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. They're pretty flat. S&P 500 is dead flat. The Nasdaq down just a fraction. The Dow is up 12 points at 10,298. European markets lost about 0.5% today, and most Asian markets fell about 1%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Bank of America. 1 year into a 10-year, $1.5 trillion investment in low to moderate income communities. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Novo Nordisk, committed to changing diabetes through treatments, partnerships, and education. Defeating diabetes is our passion and our business.
Comcast has said its planned takeover of NBC Universal would bring about synergies, giving consumers better access to content. But what if those synergies become obsolete? LA Times business columnist David Lazarus has been following this. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
Why do you think Comcast might not be getting everything at once?
Well, it's not just Comcast. All of these big media properties that have been going through this consolidation frenzy should be looking very closely because the FCC has put out the word on two fronts. First of all, they're going to be reforming the set-top box industry, which sounds a little geeky, but it's actually very interesting. On the other hand, they are going to be stepping up efforts to wire every home with broadband internet access.
Okay, so once people have broadband connections, they can watch TV over the internet. And what would my set-top box look like?
The FCC tells me that what they want is universal access. In other words, rather than renting a box from a cable or satellite provider, you would go to a retailer. You'd buy a single box that has all the jacks on the back to connect to a cable provider, a satellite provider, a phone company. It's your box, and you'd be able to pick and choose among networks.
Boil this down for me. What does this mean for my viewing habits and for the industries like cable?
Very good question. Look at some of the providers, say HBO, say Showtime. What if they could offer a subscription on the internet for less than you might pay to a cable company or a satellite provider? You cut out the middleman, and that's your nightmare scenario if you're Comcast or AT&T, because suddenly the consumer and the provider are talking one-on-one to each other. Look at my example, for instance. I have a cable package where I get hundreds of channels that I simply do not watch. There are only a handful of channels I watch, CNN, HBO, things like that. What if I could go to CNN.com or HBO.com, offer to pay them, what, $5 a month, $8 a month for access? Rather than paying $60 a month for the full package, suddenly I've cut my cable bill by two-thirds or maybe three-quarters, and I'm watching the things that I want. I'm completely empowered. That's exactly what the FCC says they want.
LA Times business columnist David Lazarus, great to talk with you.
See you on TV.
This is Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.